Okay, and hello and welcome to Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio every week. I'm Sarah Lloyd, I'm your host this week, alongside our brilliant breathwork mama, Kathy Bell. And I'm also joined by a special guest, Jennifer Flint, who is also one of our authors from the Wake Up Mother book. Mother Speaks is an unapologetic deep dive and occasionally stumbling, easy for me to say, journey into the mother energy from mothering children to businesses and the wisdom of mother herself. This is a show where mothers meet to speak about all things that matter on all topics across the board, from birthing babies, books, new projects, parenting children, oneself, and all the conundrums of being a woman in this day and age. We're a community called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, as I've already mentioned, and you can always find more about this on www.wakeupmother.com. Here on the radio show and podcast, we are a collective circle of four creatrixes. And this week we are bringing in, as I've already mentioned, the lovely Jen Flint, who is one of our authors from the Wake Up Mother book. A couple of weeks back, we met with Nicola, who is from the Unbound Press, and we talked about kind of the creation of the book. And I think we wanted to bring on every author that's been involved in the project. And without further ado, I'm going to stop talking because I tend to rabbit and let Jen introduce herself. So welcome, Jen. Thank you for joining me and Kathy.
Thanks so much, Sarah. It's lovely to be here and to have this opportunity to be involved in this amazing project. I'm a coach. So I'm a leadership coach, live in the northeast of England. I'm also a celebrant. Last year I published a book, my first ever, my debut book, which is very exciting, which is a non-fiction book called Wild Egg. And it's a story of one woman's journey as she really wrestles with the question of whether or not she wants to be a mother, and ultimately decides that that's not her path. And then she goes on this very interesting journey to really kind of understand, so what does a meaningful life look like if you choose not to be a mother and not to have children? So I felt such a call in, and you know, I was really excited when you invited me to be involved in this project to talk about motherhood in all of its many, many manifestations. So yeah, really happy to be part of the conversation today.
And I guess another thing that is really interesting is, and obviously, I mean, when we talked to Nicola, we talked about how books are like babies. and you know, we obviously reference this in the introduction around kind of mothering is not just limited to babies, it's ourselves, it's books and stuff. I'd just love to know how you feel, what mother means to you, what that word brings when you think about it.
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful question. I think for me, mother is a force of creation energy. So it's like pure creativity in its most raw form. And For me, whilst I haven't had biological children, I feel very connected to that energy. And I kind of think about it as there's many archetypes that we all embody. And for me, mother archetype is a very important part of my identity. And I think, it's a creative force, like you say, that might well be manifested through, you know, giving birth to children, which is a beautiful thing, but it might also be about projects and books. And I certainly felt that kind of whole process of gestating and, you know, the contractions and the birth through the whole process of writing a novel. I very much relate to it, I guess, in that way.
So, sorry, I was just looking at Kathy to see if she wanted to add.
I'm here, guys. Like, I'm completely here. I'm just conscious that my husband is on a call just outside the door and he's got the speaker on. So I'm just contemplating, do I put myself on mute and shout at him, or, you know, do I just kind of ignore it and carry on? But thank you, Jen. There's the idea of I really want to read Wild Egg for a start off, because I think it's such an interesting topic. And I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to dive into that story. It sounds, you know, incredible. And I think the idea of childlessness, like optional childlessness, it's always, you know, like, you know, you choose to be childless, has been a real mystery for me. Like, my godmother didn't have any children. And she was like my, like, is making me have tears. This is probably why I didn't want to speak, because I knew I was going to, there was going to be some emotion there. But she, you know, I was her godchild, and, you know, she absolutely doted on me. And the space that she was able to hold for me was being, you know, having no children of her own was so different to any of the other mothers that, you know, or women, sorry, not mothers, any of the other women in my, you know, in my life. When I think back to that relationship and how important she was for me, you know, it's really quite a powerful thing. And mm-hmm. and as you were talking, I was, the question in my mind came through was, you know, do women who don't have their own children, do they have more capacity to hold space for others? That's mm-hmm. that was what was yeah. moving through my mm-hmm. mind as I was also thinking mm-hmm. about how do mm-hmm. I get my husband to shut up and turn yeah. his work colleague on.
Yeah, that's such a, what an interesting question. And it kind of resonates with me on a, I suppose on a level. So for me, a big reason why I chose not to have children is because I felt like I knew for me, I would be very consumed by that, because I think it's an incredibly responsible and beautiful and complex and challenging role to become a parent. And I've got a great deal of respect for that. I also felt like that would consume me. And I felt like where I wanted to put my energy was around my own development, and then how I could be in service of other people around their development, and that I would have so much more capacity for that if I didn't have children. And I, you know, and I'm proud to say, and you know, it nourishes me. I do a lot of coaching and mentoring, a lot of which is for free and some paid work. And I think I do have a sense of that for myself, that I'm lucky to have that capacity to hold space for people, because I'm not, you know, I've got so much more energy that would otherwise, I understandably, yeah. be put into a more singular focus, which is bringing up your children and holding, you know, a whole family together. So yeah, that really resonates with me.
That really resonates with my chapter in a way, doesn't it, Sarah, that that was my initiation, you know, into space holding, because before that, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't have any desire to be, you know, a healer or a space holder or a mentor or a coach. You know, there's no desire there to do any of that, really. But having that initiation into having to, you know, have a focus and have a child, you know, didn't have to have a child, mm. but have a child and have that, really, yeah. So it's so interesting how we weave these, our stories together, and we can understand one another. And also having one child, like, I just feel like I'm in the middle, you know, because it's my one of my friends has two little boys, and she's very similar ages to yours, Sarah, maybe a little slightly older. And she's like, how are you in the bath at this time in the day? And I'm like, because my daughter's 11 and I've only got one, and she tends to look after herself. Like, she's like, oh my God, how are you still asleep at 8:30 in the morning? I'm like, because she's 11 and she could look after herself. She's like, oh my God. And like, this is why I didn't have any more, Sarah, because I want the best of both worlds. Like, her name, my friend, is also named Sarah, so it's not Sarah Lloyd, but she doesn't mess with me going, how the fuck are you in the bath at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? although I'm sure she's thought that before. But yeah, the reason, you know, my choice not to have any more children was a 50-50 thing, really, you know. My husband didn't want any more. I would have gone for more, but actually looking back now where we are now, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have any more. yeah, such a interesting topic.
It is, because it's really funny, because I was set, I didn't think I'd have them. And yeah, I don't know what it was. It was because I've been married twice, and my first marriage, it was like, definitely not, mm-hmm. not doing it. Yeah. I've made that decision. It was very, it's not happening in this space. And then I was on my own for a while, and I was enjoying being single and having the best life, actually. And then I met my now husband, and it was bizarre. It was like something flicked in. Yes, you have to have children with this person. It was like really interesting. So I think, you know, it was a definite no. And if I'd have stayed as I was, it probably wouldn't have happened. But, you know, I was what was called a geriatric mum. So I had mine a little bit later in life. And I actually do think that there was a real, if I think if I hadn't got together with my current husband, I, you know, you never know. I may have just continued in the path. You know, I was 36 when I had my first. So it's quite late really in life, isn't it? So it's quite interesting that we go through these moments where we have these discussions with ourselves, and you know, sometimes it just never comes up. I think if I'd have never met Carl, I don't know actually. Well, it's obviously it's everything happens for a reason, doesn't it?
You're right, absolutely.
Yeah, and just I mean, I'm loving this conversation, but what we need to do now is just pause for a track, and I think we've selected Make Your Own Kind of Music by Paloma Faith. So we'll be right back after this track and some station messages, and we'll continue our conversation about child-free living.
Nobody can tell ya.
That makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. My name is Sarah Lloyd. I'm joined by Kathy Bell. And we also have our special guest, Jennifer Flint, the author of Wild Egg and also one of our contributors from Wake Up Mother. And we were just talking about kind of the decision to have children or not have children and whether, you know, life throws these curveballs at us. And Jen, there was a really lovely story that you shared with us, or certainly with me, when we started working on the project, around, you know, that kind of that moment where you decided, it was almost like, I think that everyone has a sliding doors moment or an awakening moment, don't they? And I think that's probably why the book was called Wake Up Mother. But we all have this moment where we decide what we're going to do next, or, you know, which direction we're going to take. So I'd love to hear a bit more about that, Jen.
Thank you. I'm going to start by just connecting back to what you were talking about before the break, because I've been married twice as well. And my first husband really wanted children. And I was very ambivalent. I was always ambivalent from being a teenager. And probably if you'd asked me, if my life depended on it, which way you're going to fall, I probably would have said child-free, but I was quite unsure. But I knew I didn't want them with him. So that marriage broke up because of that, really. And then in my second marriage, we had, you know, a classic conversation, which went something along the lines of my husband said, well, look, I just need to let you know, like, right from the get-go, I really don't think I want any more children because I've already had two with a previous partner. And I said, oh, I don't think I want to have them. Right, fine. Job done. End of conversation. And then 6 or 7 years later, I was 41 and completely out of the blue, just at the moment where I'd just got a really big promotion in my career. And I kind of had that very rare moment of like, I finally feel like I've sort of got my shit together. And I'm like where I want to be. And it was like this very rare, like, all I need to do, everything's in place in my life. I just need to keep all the plates spinning. And then, of course, as you say, my husband declared I'd really love us to have a baby. And my mouth was just kind of hanging open. And basically, at that moment, I realised that at the age of 41, if I didn't make a choice, if nature hadn't already made the choice, it was very close to kind of shutting, the shutter of my biological egg shop was clearly going to be close to closing. And I had this sudden moment of stunning realization where I thought, hang on a sec, I live a conscious life. I try to in every other sphere of my life. Why am I avoiding this decision? I need to say, hell yes or no thank you. And it suddenly became really important to me to make a decision. So I thought, which is what I explore in the book, is my character Holly goes through this exact journey. And I naively thought, all right, I'll just sit down at the weekend, no problem, write some pros and cons, job done. Ha ha.
Like you do.
I like you do, yeah. And that kind of, and I tried really hard for about 3 months to make a breakthrough by doing that kind of process. And then, of course, realised that that wasn't going to work. And I'd hung around for a while with Brené Brown's work, St. Brené on vulnerability and all that good stuff. And I suddenly was like, oh, right, this is like where my vulnerability apprenticeship really begins, because I'm not going to figure this out intellectually as a sort of way in the scales process. I've got to feel my feelings, damn. So
damn it.
That was hard for me because I wasn't used to doing that very well. And so I ended up going on this really kind of weird and curious and life-changing journey, which took about a year, where I was really trying, I suppose, to learn the art of self-trust. Like, I need to get back in touch with my intuition. What do I really, really want? Because as I thought about the choice, what I started to realise was all the conditioning that I'd kind of absorb without noticing, like, should I have a kid? Would I be selfish? Is there something wrong with me if I don't have to? And I was peeling off all these layers, I guess, trying to get to the bottom of what is my honest, wholehearted choice, my most authentic truth just for me. And I found it really, I had to dig for that. So by the time, to answer your question, I came to making a decision, I think that I'd excavated deeply enough that suddenly this roaring voice, and it was a stunning moment again, as you said, where I literally heard this voice that just rose up inside of me, say, you know, which basically said, motherhood is not my path. And it was like, I almost felt a sense that there was a big staff that had been like powerfully, just like Gandalf in the ground. It was like the total Gandalf moment. And it was like, motherhood is not my path. I don't want to do this. Rather than I can't, rather than I shouldn't. It was so clear.
Wow, that's so powerful.
Like every cell in my body just like declared it. And I was like, okay, that is a decision. This is what the whole sort of first part of the book really goes into the journey that I went through to get to that moment. And I've never looked back, honestly, not even for a second in the 10 years that's elapsed since then, because it was so clear. I've never questioned it. And I think what I learned from that experience was I know how to trust myself, and I kind of learned how to tap into that and how to absolutely trust my intuition. So I live like that now, which is very different to how I used to live.
Oh, can I jump in there? Because I love what you pick out about that voice of intuition. Oftentimes people so like, I don't know how to listen to my heart, or you feel the power, but the neutrality of that statement, motherhood is not my path, or it's not your path. Like there's power, but it's neutral. It's not, you should do it. You could do it. There's no like shoulds, coulds. You know, maybe it's just there, boom, like you say, like the staff moment. And that's the voice of the intuition, that's the voice of the heart, that's the voice of the soul, that's the voice of God, goddess, whatever you want to call that. It's neutral and it's powerful, and there's no ifs and buts around it. It's just, it is what it is. And and I think same, I'm sure Sarah does as well, but that's the one voice that is trusted, because it's when you get to know it, you know where it comes from. It comes from that special place. I also love you talking into vulnerability, because I think not having children, aside from not having children, but I think following your intuition, especially when it goes against the grain, and especially when it doesn't look like other people's lives, is one of the most vulnerable things in the world. So thank you for bringing all that to the table. Thank you.
And thank you for the way you've just played that back, because I've never thought about it in that way before. But that's such a great point you've made about the neutrality. Like it's like such a clean intervention, isn't it?
It's like, write the book. Write the book. It is. And we spend so much time flip-flopping around, don't we? And it's, and trying to find the answers. And they will come. But it's part of the unfoldment of listening to that, listening for that voice, because it's probably there. Probably there before you kind of flip-flopped around for 3 months trying to write your pros and cons list, It was probably there, but it just couldn't be accessed because I'll pass back to Sarah.
I'm in awe, because, and actually while you're talking, I'm playing so many things that have happened in, my life where that's actually, oh, right, okay. So that was that, that's what I was listening to when, it was very evident it wasn't happening with the previous partner, and I was completely, if you put a baby near me, I ran a mile, no thanks. But this weird, like this strange shift occurred when I met my husband. So I guess it's a similar thing. It's like, oh yeah, we can have children with this person. This is fine. It was really interesting that you say that. But then I guess the other thing that, that I loved about your story is that just because you haven't had a child, it doesn't mean that you stop mothering, because you are, coaching, you're sharing your story is also making it okay for other people to realize that they don't have to follow the norm, the society, the pressure, women of a certain age, they get to a point and, the conversations about biological clocks start, right? or if you've had one baby, are you going to have another one?
Oh God, it's, I know,
standard,
that one,
isn't it? It's absolutely, it's part, unfortunately, it's so ingrained, like you're saying, it's so brave to actively make that decision and step away and choose to do something different. Mm. Not just, it just didn't happen. You chose. That's, yeah, powerful.
Yeah. And I feel like it's been a really nourishing and kind of validating experience to be part of this community and part, you know, where most, in terms of the Mother Speaks and Wake Up Mother book, where most women in this community are mothers, but to be in that space and recognize how much we have in common, you know, around searching for our own authentic identities beyond motherhood, because I think motherhood, you know, and this is part of that, this kind of pronatalist ideology, is still positioned deep in our cultural hardware, deep in our psyche, that motherhood equals womanhood. So the way to become in the fullest expression of who you are as a woman is via the path of giving birth to children, which I think actually places pressure on all of us. So it places pressure on someone like me who's thinking, is there something wrong with me? And does it mean I'm not going to become a woman of substance and the fullest me that I could be because I'm missing out on this, the deepest, most glorious experience that you can possibly have? But then equally, I feel like what I've learned more and more is that that ideology also impacts on if you choose to have children, because then it's like, well, now you are a mother, you've got to do motherhood perfectly. Otherwise, it's a kind of judgment against your womanhood. So I think it kind of affects us in similar ways, whatever perspective we take. And I think this whole project to me has been about, we're all searching for that authentic identity, who we are, as you said, Kathy, like listening to the voice of our intuition to follow our deepest longings, and also reclaiming our power, that like we get to choose our own endings and we don't have to follow this cookie cutter version of, you know, how you're supposed to be a woman, how you're supposed to be a mother. And I think what the beauty of what we are sharing is the authentic, messy stories that are really the truth that we don't often get to talk about and share.
And that we're all welcome.
Yeah.
We're all welcome at the table. And I think, you know, in the past, the judgment that, you know, the judgment and contempt and the bitchiness, I suppose, for want of a better word, that we can pass around whether we have children or not, or you know, and how, I don't know how that lands with in our lives, that has no place anymore. That has no place. I think the more that we can honor and respect and admire and be honest and be vulnerable and open about this topic, the better, because like you said, this motherhood journey is, you know, it's really lovely for you to be able to hear someone say that actually and recognize that the job of a mother, you know, you do it and then you have a lifetime of constantly judging yourself, and did you get it right and did you do it perfectly, and the constant pressure that brings. And I think that the table just gets to get bigger as we all take our seat as women. And we release that judgment and we release that separation, and that I think so. What Sarah's created here is just this big, huge, massive table where all women from all walks of life and all walks of motherhood and all choices and experience can have a seat and feel validated and feel welcome and feel important and feel part of the story. And I think that's what's one of the most special things about this project to me is that.
And the image that came to mind as I was listening to you there, Kathy, was like we're all around the table like supporting each other and sharing with each other, like how are we learning to mother ourselves at our deepest level in a society where there's so many shoulds and expectations, it's quite hard to give yourself permission to be yourself. I'm too weird, I'm too shy, I'm too this, I'm too that. Like how do we get in touch with that archetypal mother energy that's in all of us in terms of like self-creation, self-birth, because the more that we have in our own cup, the more we have to share and give to others.
Yeah.
But I think we often don't give ourselves permission. And I hear this a lot, and I really feel for so many friends and women I know who have children, because there seems to me like the same, so I suppose child-free women like me tend to get labelled often as selfish, because you just didn't want to take the responsibility on and you just want to, you know, go on amazing holidays drinking bars all the time. Right, okay. And then on the other side, there's you know, women who have children sort of seem to me to get, oh, it's selfish if you want to put yourself first because you have to put your children before you. So I think that pressure is upon us, whatever stance we take, just in different, shows up in different ways. And it's like, how do we learn to, yeah, give ourselves the mothering that we need to be able to show up as who we really are, because the world needs us to be authentically ourselves, because we've all got unique things to bring.
Oh, it's so, oh, it's always when we're getting really juicy, I've got to pause.
Yeah. Yeah, I have so much to say on this. Let's pick it back up.
So unfortunately we have to pause for another track, but Jen, I think you were gonna share one of your tracks that you'd like to play today.
Yeah, thank you. I chose this one. It's called Rise Up by Andra Day, and I love it because it feels like a power ballad for like,
yeah,
authentic self just going whoa, like having the Gandalf moment. It's like, it feels like the energy of that, and I think it's just a really powerful track.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to leave you with the Gandalf moment and we'll be right back.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're going to walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move on days. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up and I'll do it 1,008 times again. And I'll silence isn't quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains.
That makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And hello and welcome back to Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. Hopefully you're still with us and you've enjoyed that power ballad selected by our special guest, Jen Flynn. And I'm also joined by the lovely Kathy Bell. So we hopefully are going to pick up where we left off because that was getting juicy.
Can I jump in, please? Can
yes,
I
go
jump
for it.
In, please? Like I have my jumpy arms. So Jen said something, I think it was right at the beginning of that second section, about having children and it being the most amazing thing. You know, and I was like,
yeah, well, trying to,
you know, giving birth, wonderful. You know, I personally, for me, my experience, wonderful. And yeah, I'm like, being a parent, you know, it's not my most, I'm not the best. Like, it's, you know, I'm like, there are better things, I personally think, in life. Like, being a parent is freaking amazing sometimes. But there are that, like you said, that self-discovery for me is the real driver. Like I'm so, you know, never not want my daughter. Like I love her to death. And being a parent and being in a partnership with my husband, you know, doing all that, it's great. And it's challenging and, you know, it's juicy and sometimes it's rewarding. Maybe one day it's rewarding. I have a preteen right now, so it's really hard. I've got to dig deep to be like, amazing. But there are this self-discovery, like you say, this putting self-mothering for me is so much more, I'm so much more passionate about that, you know. And there is a lot of judgment. This is probably the first time I've ever said this out loud to anyone. There's a lot of self-judgment around that because, you know, I think I should be focusing, maybe if I focused a little bit more on my parenting skills, things might be better. And maybe I'm making the wrong choice by following my self-mothering. You know, I'm like, how is that affecting her? And am I doing that right? But to me, that's the, to me, that is much more fulfilling, especially with a preteen. Maybe there'd be more fulfillment later down the line. But right now, you know, following my own self-mothering journey and self-healing journey and self-fulfillment journey is really quite powerful for me. And that it's hard to admit that as a parent because it's like, well, what about kids? Do you not care about them? Do you not care about her? And it's hard to be honest, I think, about these things. And
that's total society though, isn't it? That's what we've been, you know. And I think as you're talking, sorry, I'm leaping in there, but
go for it.
As you're talking, I'm feeling that I think the big, you know, there's this whole grandparents can take your children and then they forget about it. But why don't mothers feel like that? There's this whole, like, we have been taught that we have to live and breathe our children until they get to a certain age. And there's this element of one thing that I've been certainly exploring myself is that attachment piece, because at the end of the day, I might have carried her in my body, she might have come from part of me, but ultimately they're their own people. So why am I like all over them? You know, why am I, why can't I give them distance? Why shouldn't, you know? And that's what I'm certainly as a mother, I think if I hadn't have had children, I possibly wouldn't have learned that lesson. So there is this like detachment to, you know, teaching these people, these little individual versions of us, to stand on their own two feet and actually be better humans. And, you know, that is such something that's really cool. And I think as well, like we've got friends that also don't have children that I often rock up to their houses and they mother me and hug me because I need a bit of like time out with a woman that doesn't have children. And I think And it's also, it's important for us to, you know, gather together. Like, you know, we often get together in our circles and our groups. Even just doing this actually is quite nourishing for the soul, because you're actually focusing on yourself and you're talking about things that matter to you. And I think that that's almost like the quiet revolution. We're having this just by doing this, by, you know, taking this time for ourselves, being selfish. But is it selfish really, when we're modeling to the future generations that actually you need time away? You don't need to be breathing each other's air all the flipping time. It's like, that isn't healthy. So, you know, having people like you, Jen, I know you look after, you have an 18-year-old that you support from time to time, but you're like the second mum, aren't you? I think that was a story.
I'm called the other mother.
I love that. I adore that.
Such a privilege, yeah. She's 22 now and doing amazing, yeah.
I think that that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, this is why there are women who have children. This is why women who don't have children, because we're all there to support each other. And we're in a really, the mother energy, we're in such a difficult space, because you're caring for people above. Well, eventually that does happen. And you're caring for future generations. So you're sort of in this middle, like, where do we get,
where am I in this? And I've got so much respect for, like, how honest you've just been there, Kathy. And I imagine that's going to resonate so much with listeners on this. And it's making me think about, there's a one of the beautiful outcomes of writing Wild Egg, and since she's been out in the world now for a few months, I've had some amazing conversations with women, and one particular woman who's a very experienced psychotherapist. She wrote a book called The Baby Decision, which came out at the beginning of the 1980s. She actually is a mother herself, but she's dedicated her life to supporting and working with people around child-free issues and the decision of whether or not they want children. And if I don't have children, what does a meaningful, full life kind of look like? And she's got this great definition where she says, in my view, and it speaks to what we've just been talking about, in my view, selfishness is an attempt to meet your own needs without regard for anyone else's. Self-love, on the other hand, means caring enough about yourself to do what's right for you, nourishing yourself in such a way that you can love others too. And I think when I heard what you said, Kathy, and you, Sarah, like, what an amazing example set to your daughters, because this is particularly pokey, I think, for women, because there's much more expectation still on women about being caring and how you have to look after everybody else's needs. What an amazing, powerful example to give to your daughters of, like, it's, you get to put yourself at the center of your life. It doesn't mean you love anybody any less, but you've got to put your own oxygen mask on. Otherwise, what are we teaching by saying, in order to be a parent, you have to sacrifice your needs over everybody else's? I mean, because then they're going to be looking, going, God, I'm not sure I want to do that.
To be honest, though, I was totally in that camp at the very beginning. I thought that's what a good mum was.
Yeah.
And then I found myself being resentful. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, so why am I resentful? I wanted this.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I think this is similar. Sarah and I both work at home. You know, like that, growing up in a household in the 80s with a single mum, she worked, in an office and then came home. And so she was at home, and that was us, there was no distractions. There was nothing else. It was just home. Whereas, now we have our living, breathing businesses in our homes. And they're our absolute world, there are passions, there are joy. And I think that adds another layer for a lot of women, especially if they're working from home and parenting in the home, to that conversation and how that works. Like, a lot of my work is on the device, again, it's separating it all out. I think the pressure that we're under and that we face to juggle all of that, because of course you still want to be a decent parent. You want to raise an amazing human being. You want to model the ideal to them, but it doesn't always look ideal when, you're like shutting the door. No one come in this room. You're in the home, which is a safe space for family, but no, I'm recording a podcast. Everyone be quiet. no one come in this room. And yeah, just a minute, I just need to email this person back. And, you know, all that, a lot of that guilt is on there. And especially going on, me and Sarah often go on retreat together, and that comes up every year. Why do you have to go to Glastonbury every year? And I'm like, come on now, you're 11. You've been doing this since you were five. Like, you survive every time. And I'm going because it nourishes me. Like, it's something that I need to do. And one day you'll understand. And it, exactly that, Gemma, you say, that self-love piece of being able to come back. They, you know, remember last year when I come back, wasn't I different? Wasn't, you know, it's that. Yeah, it is, hopefully. You don't necessarily see the fruits of what you're doing right now, but you hope that's the seeds that you're planting is setting our future generation up to be, yeah, not to, to believe that they have choices.
Yeah. You know?
Because going into becoming a parent, for me, it was like, well, it's just what I'll do. Like, as a child, I was never like, oh, I was never maternal. I think I say that in my chapter as well. I was never one to have little, you know, babies and pushers around. I was like, I wasn't really interested. But it was always like, oh, well, I'll get to a certain age and then I'll have a baby. There was no other choice. Like, there was no other option. I wish I'd been a bit more conscious about it sometimes, you know, because, I think, especially when we don't, I love how Jen was like meticulously thinking through the decision. I'm like,
yeah,
just go for it. Just feel the urge and go for it. Leap.
I just had the, I think also it's what we're consuming as young when we're young. Because the thing that I was, I was reading Lucky Santiago, whatever her name is, Jackie Collins in my teens. And it was like, well, I want to be a ball busting woman with shoulder pads and high heels, and I want a big career. And that's what I went and did. And then I was like, oh, actually,
yeah,
met this dude now. And it was interesting because I think that's why I, you know, I was quite happy doing all of those. I mean, I wasn't in shoulder pads, granted, but it's kind of, it was, that was the, you know, I want to be a serious powerhouse woman for a bit. And, you know, I went off into corporate and that's what I did. And I wasn't interested in children or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, bam, it kind of changed. But, and then I changed and then I softened. And I think that's the thing with, I think I was brought up around a lot of masculine energy. And I think that's the thing with what we're growing up into. You know, there is a very heavy masculine energy we're moving in through. You know, we're at school where it's process, it's, there's no kind of room for that feminine. So I feel like, you know, what you're talking into, Jen, is that you actually were able to bring that feminine in spite of, you know, yeah. I had to have a baby to bring it in. It's like, it's kind of that, I mean, that just goes to the strength of, you know, your choice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, and that's so brilliant what you said, and I really relate to it about, and I conceive of it now with hindsight as that is like, I recognize I was very in masculine energy. I was like, you know, I would plan conversations to the extent of, and if they say this, I'm going to say, I mean, I was down to like, I was such a control freak in my life, very organized, you know, I was a vision board and a goal setter, all of that, you know. And then suddenly I was like, hang on a sec. I can't solve this through the way that I've normally tackled things in my life. This is a totally different way of being. And now I would use the words, as you've said, like, and I realize now it was about, I've got no access to feminine energy. I'm really uncomfortable with it. It feels all a bit wishy-washy, and I don't know how to access it, and I don't like the mess and the uncertainty. But what I realized, and how I've changed, I guess, is like that the unknowingness and the uncertainty and the flow and the allowing for the emergent stuff in life is like the womb of our potential. And, you know, that everything springs from the fertile void. And it's like, and I suppose that's where, as you were saying, Kathy, the vulnerability piece comes in of like, sort of surrendering, going, I don't know exactly what to do. I don't even know what I want, but I'm willing to stare into the black hole and like sit with it rather than just try and project plan my way out of it and allow for that beautiful energy to come through me and for me to feel into that vulnerability and allow flow and allow things to be born and die and be, you know, recycled. All of that is about the cycles. And I think we're very cut off from that. And, you know, and I think we're very, or certainly this was my experience, is like I was so detached from my body as well. So my body was a project to like make it thinner, make it, you know, make it leaner, make it look better. It was all the way I thought about my body was all like that, shaming it, not good enough. Why can't you be more like this? So the journey, I think, of listening to that intuition and going into feminine energy was, oh my God, that's the first thing I did. I did body work therapy, and I was like, somebody suggested to me, I was like, what? That is it, like naked psychotherapy? I didn't know what I thought. And she just laughed at me. She was like, I'm Scottish, I'm not going to be recommending something like that to you, Jen. And I did this, and I was shocked at how I realized how completely disconnected I was from my body. So part of finding that wholehearted choice is like going into my body, my feminine energy, and coming back into relationship with it and like loving it and accepting it and all of that good stuff, which has radically changed how I am now in my life, I think, for the better. But I agree. I think a lot of the culture that we're living in pushes us down this masculine productivity, all that stuff. And it's like, oh, it's both and. How do we learn to be in both and? And I think that's a lot of what this book to me is about as well, in my book, Wild Egg, as well, is about how do we reclaim that and fuse the two together in a really healthy way.
Thank you. Starts by having the conversations, and doesn't it, and being vulnerable and willing and open to say the things that we keep hidden away. So thank you for sharing your story.
You too.
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing having you on, and I just love these conversations because just so much comes up, and these are just healing conversations anyway. But yeah, thank you, Jen, for coming on the show. And we'll share all the links to Jen's book and how you can work with her in the show notes. But if you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, please do tell your friends. And if you'd like to listen again, you can on demand on ukhealthradio.com and on their podcast stream on all the major platforms. We also have a Spotify playlist handily called Mother Speaks, containing tracks from the show so far and ones we want to share with you. And as I've said before, Mother Speaks is part of our Wake Up Mother community, and you can find out more about us on wakeupmother.com. And we also have a interactive portal on Substack where you can catch up the latest news and listen to us on Mother Speaks Unplugged. So there may be some swearing and some unedited versions of this conversation. We're also on Instagram. You'll find us there, wakeupmother_community. Thanks again to my co-host Kathy and our guest Jen for being part of this show.
Thank you.
It's just been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, so nourishing. And thank you for listening. And if you have any suggestions, guests that you'd like to hear on our show, please reach out. And up next on UK Health Radio's rolling stream of healthy shows is the Menopause Sisters. So remember, you have a vast, untapped, fertile field of mother energy within you. Regardless of what or how you choose to mother, it's all just waiting to be honoured by you, for you, and for the rich families we are creating. And thank you for listening.